Today we have a treat for you. There's four stools on the stage, and I'm going to randomly call four people. No, I'm just kidding. This is planned. Jason, will you come? Isaac, will you come? Josh, will you come? We're going to have a little bit different presentation this morning of the Word. Will you welcome these mighty men as they come up? Grab a seat. Grab a seat. So I've invited these gentlemen. We want to discuss, I'm going to put this mic and it's going to be an opportunity for you to dive in. It's on. God has been brewing some things in our hearts. The last few times we've gathered together, we've seen people surrendering their heart to God, some for the first time, some rededicating their life. I have personally felt God just have a stirring in my own heart. And this stirring is not, how can I be a better person? How can I be a better pastor? How can I be a better leader? This stirring is, how can I make more room in my life for God? And this stirring that I believe the Holy Spirit is drawing me to, it's taken a couple different people that have been speaking into my heart. And some of them are on the stage. Some of them have challenged me and frustrated me. I'm not looking at who it was, but these guys are used by God to sharpen, to provide a different perspective. And so Isaac and I started talking about what we feel God drawing us to, a new season in Him. We know this is a cliche thing to say as the year ends and as a new year starts, but this is such a revelant thing in our lives of God drawing us to a new season. And the opportunity we have as the calendar changes, we also have the opportunity to say yes to what God wants to do in our life. And the question today, before I turn it over to Isaac, you ready, bro? I'm trying to set you up and get ready. The question today is, are you going to carry what we've been carrying in this year? Some of us have been carrying frustrations, disappointments, disillusionment. Maybe you've been carrying, maybe you're mad. Maybe things didn't go your way. Maybe this year has been a year you just feel like you're pressing up against a wall. And the question is, are you going to carry that same stuff into this new year? Or are we willing to lay down some of the things we were never meant to carry, never meant to put on our shoulders, and lay it down and leave it on this cross? I leave this cross up here. I had a guy 2 weeks ago now. He doesn't come to the church. He's not here this morning, I don't think, so I can talk about him. He comes in. He's like, oh, man, what a cool church you guys have. This is cool. What is up with that cross, though? I was like, what do you mean, what's up with the cross? He's like, man, is it going to fall over? Is it okay? And it was a wonderful opportunity for me to share a little bit. He's not a believer, so please understand. And then the next thing he says is, are those names on the cross? And it was a beautiful opportunity for me to share about these papers that we've nailed on there. Anybody remember doing this? I mean, a lot of y'all's handwriting is on this cross. And to me, this represents what we preach about, what we sing about, but it's a physical demonstration of what God, through His Son Jesus, has done for us in providing us an opportunity to leave our shame and our guilt on the cross. And that we now can walk in this new life provided through the work of Christ on the cross. Isaac, why don't you share a little bit about new season?
All right. So new season, new beginnings. I was talking to God and praying about it, what exactly He wants me to talk about or brief. And I put my Bible aside and I just had my notebook ready. And I was like, God, just let me know what you want to speak. And I felt Holy Spirit telling me that to stop dwelling in the past, whatever we have or whatever we did, to stop thinking about, oh, I should have done this, or I should have done that. No, it's in the past. Past is past, you know. For me, my personal example is when I was going for school for Christ for the Nations, I had some money aside, and I was going to use that for school. And the semester's already over. And so I looked at the money that I saved, and I was like, man, where'd all this money go? And I was thinking, and I kept thinking, I should have spent it this way. I should have gone out to eat so much. I should have just hey, the cafeteria food, or I should have not, you know, go out with friends or whatever, just been on school. And God kept telling me, stop thinking about the past, Isaac. Think about what I'm going to do for you, what I have for you. He's like, you got to stop just so much not dwelling in the past, but so much look in the future. Isaiah 55:8 says, and I'm sure you guys, some of the youth know it, that one of my favorite messages or verse. It says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. So I started thinking about that. And the Lord reminded me about that. I was like, you're right, God. What I thought, how I could spend this, I mean, it's in the past, you know, but whatever you have for me is so much greater than I can ever imagine. And so it was just, you know, for me, the new season, new beginnings, you know, it's time for us to, for me, example, personally, it's time for us to walk in faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. So sometimes I know it's very hard to understand or comprehend. How do you walk by faith, or how do you walk instead of, you know, it's so much easier. It's harder to, I guess, grasp when you see something, and you see something and it's like, oh, it's there. But it's like, for example, I guess it goes back to money issue. So you walk by faith, you got to walk by faith. You gotta have rely on God, basically. Just rely on God, and He'll take care of it. Just rely on God, and He'll take over it, and that's all you gotta do, really. And had developed that relationship with Him. You know, give it all to Him, and not worrying about anything. You know, just Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, "But forget all that; it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland."
Come on now.
So that's for me, a step into the season. You know, for all of us, step into the season, step new beginnings.
Yeah.
And just have faith in God that He'll, whatever you have in the past, like I said, leave it in the past. It doesn't matter anymore. You know, whatever God has for you in the future is so much greater than what we can imagine.
Amen.
So nice season.
Great job, bro.
Thank you, Isaac. And if you allow me to continue on with you, Isaac, I want to come out of Romans 6, if it's all right, real quick, where he speaks on, he says, "Knowing yea not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into His death, therefore we were buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." Isaac was speaking just now about the past. We all seem to dwell in the past and the things that the mistakes or the decisions that we've made in the past. We all seem to be attacked in that way in our mind. And I feel like the Father was saying, when Paul was speaking on renewing the mind, Paul was speaking in that way because of the fact that he had to be going through something. Why is the Holy Spirit telling him to renew his mind? You gotta look at what type of man that Paul was before he came to Christ, and then who he was after he came to Christ. And when he says to walk in the resurrection, you know, 2018 is dead. It's in the past. Whatever happened back then is in the past. It is being buried. It is overgone. It's gone. 2019 is the opportunity for the resurrection to happen in our lives, for it to come alive, for us to walk beside Christ in the resurrection of the new man that we are, our new woman that we are, and coming into today as we walk out these doors right now, as the thoughts hit us in the head, as the thoughts just pound on us and pound on us, we know that they are dead. They are nothing. They are only the adversary trying to attack, trying to bring us down, to leave us in the past.
Yes.
But we are resurrected through Christ and what He has done for us on the finished work. It's not the wooden beam. It is the finished work that took place that gives us access to the resurrection today. That's what it is. That's all that it is.
Yeah.
And I want to pass it over to Josh.
Good morning. Praise God. There's been some rich stuff already. Diane, when you said, I don't have any diamond rings, all right, there's not a lot of diamonds on my fingers, What came to my mind is you have a heart of a diamond. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord wants you to know. You're shining. Your heart's shiny. Amen. It's clean. It's pure. Amen. And it's holy. And you are a diamond. Amen. And for your season to change, your heart's got to change. Mm-hmm. You can go into a new season with an old heart. Let me read the scripture. Psalms 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may he stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Everybody wants to be blessed in 2019. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek his face. So a new season. Everybody's saying all kinds of stuff about a new season, but God is looking at the heart.
That's good.
And we just can't go into a new season with the old heart. And we just need to go ahead and just, you know, a lot of worship guys, and I hear a lot of people, raise your hands. How about we raise your heart? It's not about an outside external extremity raising your hand. Is your heart lifted up? See, nobody knows if your heart is really lifted up to Jesus Christ. Unless you have true discernment from the Spirit. So, you know. So my encouragement is, Tim asked me, he said, speak, say something. And I told him, I said, listen, man, I said, I'm in deep, deep business. I've worked my hiney off all year. And I feel like I haven't gotten anywhere looking at the books, looking at the numbers. And I'm like, God, this is ridiculous. But all I've been doing was chasing money and chasing recognition and chasing all the stuff with the business stuff, you know? And I'm like, I've done all that, and I'm nowhere, the books are ridiculous. I'm like, man, I can't even explain it, but bottom line is, I'm just like, I just gotta, what's the word when they go, I had to get my tire changed. So realignment is the word, recalibration, transformation, all these words, but really, there's definitions of each one of them that's very important. But God is looking at the heart. That's all he cares about. Yeah. Another scripture. And then I got one more thing real quick, Tim.
Take your time.
Psalms 51, which is powerful. Before you go into 2019, I had a friend one time. I was a wild maniac. I was on fire for God. And then I got lukewarm and he came to me. He was a Nigerian pastor. He was radical. He said, get in my car and let's go. It was lunchtime. I said, oh, no, I knew he was radical. You know, I was like, man, this is going to be it. This is going to be serious. The guy prays 12 hours a day. He's a mess for God, right? So he grabs me. He's like, let's go to lunch. I'm picking you up. And he's like, dude, right now, just start decreeing and declaring and speaking Psalms 51 over your life. Just refreshing, fresh fire. Yeah. And I was thinking this morning, I was like, Psalms 51, 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh, God, yes. Thou will not despise. Everybody's looking for favor. Everybody's looking to be famous on all this stuff. But really, are you making him famous? Everybody wants to be recognized, and he's worried about relationship. So, realignment, Lord, reset us, reboot, and we just want to make you famous, Lord. Yes. It's not about us, and it's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And I was talking to one of my guys this morning. Yes. He's staying with me, one of my sales reps, and you mentioned a little bit this morning. He was like, he's just going through some stuff. There's mountains going to, everybody wants the new season. It's the new season. The new season's going to have some huge, big mountains.
Come on now.
Okay? And I told him, I said, you got to be a mountain climber. And as I said that, it sounds good. Because everybody just, oh yeah, one would be bad.
I could preach that.
But here's the deal. We're not supposed to be mountain climbers. We're supposed to be mountain movers.
Ooh.
We're supposed to speak to the mountain. Okay? So whatever mountain's in your way for 2019, you've got to speak to that mountain. So let me read one more scripture. One more.
Good.
Amen? Hold on. I got to find it here. It's my Bible here on my phone. It's ridiculous. It works, though. Hold on. Sorry, guys. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Mark 11, verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, Christian Chapel, whatever things you ask when you pray,
yes,
believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Yes.
There's no need for a man's word. That's the word.
It's good. I don't want to speak after you. There's no need for a man's word. No. And I love this because these are the conversations I have either on the phone or through text. Or I sat across from Josh at a restaurant. He messed me up. I was asking him questions just, you know, in another vein, and he just turns and he says, Tim, I think we had 20-something days left in the year. And Josh said, what are you going to do different right now to end the year in a better place than you are now? And it just blew me, you know, because I'm used to thinking and making. I was joking with my kids the other day, we're making New Year's resolutions of what we're going to do better in January. I'll be at the gym more in January. I'll be there. And we start making this list, and a lot of it never gets fulfilled. And that was the heart that Josh was conveying. God was using him to say, what are you going to do? What are you willing to do right now? And our conversation turned from doing better, being better people, better men, better husbands, to we just want more of God. Because all those other things will fall in alignment if we just get more of God. More of God. There's a song, Jody and I, we played it in the sound system, and we say it all the time. More love, more power, more of God in our lives. That's our prayer as we're ending this year, looking at a new year. Let's get more of him. Amen. 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 And there's a scripture, Joshua's. Man, I love this scripture. Matthew, if you have your Bible, open up your Bible, Matthew chapter 7. I want to talk just for a minute about Matthew chapter 7. It's all right if you use your phone. Go ahead. It's all right. You can use your phone. Use your iPad, whatever you need. And I felt this heavy on us. We were talking earlier this morning, and I said to the guys, I think I sent this email out, all you who get the email. I said, however we end this year, we'll lead our steps into how we begin the next year. And what are we doing right now at this moment to maybe walk a different path or maybe walk into this new season? And it got my mind rolling to some of us are carrying some things that we're not meant to carry. And we're walking through life just loaded down. Boy, if we had eyes in the spirit, we would see us with backpacks and suitcases and carrying all this stuff. None of us were meant to carry. Past hurts, regrets. Anybody got some past decisions you don't even want to think of, let alone tell somebody about? And at times, those regrets and mistakes and frustrations lead our feet and prevent of what God's doing in our lives. And I was thinking about making room for God in our lives. And the word that I felt the Lord tell me was some of us need to let go of the things in our hands in order to receive what God's trying to give us. And some of us, we can't receive anything else because our hands are full. Our hands are full of our own frustrations, regrets, maybe your own plans. Maybe you have a God dream and it just hasn't happened yet. And so then you're now walking in frustration. I love this. I'm coming back to it. Those who are ready, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Let's look at a few of these words. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Just receive that word from the Lord today. Keep trusting in Him. Keep asking. Say, well, I've already asked once. Keep asking. Let that faith continue to rise before God. We sung it. We preach it. I believe it. I'll declare it. I'll talk to you privately after service about it, that God's promises are yes and amen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what my kids are doing. It doesn't matter what's happening in my marriage. I stand on the promises of God, not on emotion, not on situation, but on God's promises. Amen. Come on, somebody else. Anybody else got something? Come on. I feel you behind me, so go ahead. Take it.
You know, Tim, when you were speaking on those scriptures right there, I was reminded, especially the part where he says, if you seek, you will find. I was reminded of it's weird how I was reminded at that time of my past movements, how I was in search. You know, several years ago, I wasn't a clean man. I was a dirty man. I would choose narcotics as the answer to my problem. I'm trying to leave it very clean with the children here, but I was going from door to door to door to door looking for a substance to find, and eventually, as I kept seeking it and seeking after it, I found it. I found it where it was at. It may have took me a lot longer to get there, but I found it from place to place to place to place to place, because this place didn't have it, this place didn't have it, this place didn't, but I went seeking for it. And it is true, I found it. And then I used it to try to cover myself, to try to relieve whatever pressure I had, or whatever this or whatever that. And it's weird how the Father spoke to me, and he was like, if you would seek me that way, you would find me that way.
Come on.
I would remove these things from you if you would seek me the way you seek this powder substance, this narcotic. If you would seek me that way, you would have the answers of your brokenheartedness, of your depression, of your anger, of your frustration, of your immorality, of all these things that I'm walking in, day out. If you would seek me in all these things, in all these ways. And so with that, I just want to encourage people that if you're seeking anything else besides our Heavenly Father, just stop. Just drop it. Because you're being misled in a lot of ways. And just seek the Father. Seek for his answer and what the answer is with wisdom, that you can pull the strength out of it, because his word has strength. His wisdom is full of power.
Yeah.
And it gives your heart. It touches your heart. I know a lot of times I say the word mind, but, you know, Brother Josh said here and told me the heart. You know, the heart, it hit me. Because what comes out of a person is out of their heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing I want to take out of 2018, I want to make sure that the Father rips my heart in half. Purify it to complete cleanness. Rips it in half. Breaks it completely down. So when I come into 2019, I'm coming in brand new. Yeah. Fresh and clean.
That's good.
To walk and to be mature in his ways, in his wisdom, in his word. Because even I, myself, can try to jump ahead of God and try to move before him. Yeah. But I only find myself getting, you know, just sinking. There goes that scripture again of, I don't know exactly where it's at, but where it's in Matthew. I think it's Matthew, I don't know if it's 14, where Jesus is walking on water. And he calls out to Peter to come out there. You know, Jesus is walking on water because he's light. There's no sin in him. That's how come he's walking on water. And if you notice, as Peter comes out, he's light because his faith is on Jesus.
Yeah.
He is clean. But as soon as he took his mind off of Jesus and he started seeing the doubt, that became sin and he began to sink.
Yeah.
And when he began to sink, he began going to the darkness of the water. That's what's underneath, nothing but darkness. So just keep focused on Jesus Christ. Keep focused on what he's done and what he's going to continue to do in our mind, body, and soul.
That's good.
And Josh, here you go. Bro.
Love you, Lord.
You got to get out of the boat.
Come on.
A mountain mover and a water walker. You know?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. You know, you got to walk on water.
Yeah.
Mm. I do. I'm just resting. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. There's some stuff we have to deal with before we cross over to 2019.
That's good.
Everybody's going to cross over, but what are you going to carry? They're things. He mentioned, Pastor Tim. So the sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. If you want 2019 to look different, and the landscape can look different for your life in 2019. I've told that to Jacob, my friend, known him for 10 years, and I told him, I said, your life can totally, totally change. You don't have to be in Prosper. You could be in Sydney. You can be in Hong Kong. Your mind's got to change. I mean, we're this. You don't have to be in Collin County. God's big. And, you know, I told you, if you wanted to change, here's four things that I think that really, really, that you can take with you. And I've had these four things. I've carried four things for a while. And I've done a little bit of them, but these four things will change your life. Isolation, separation, consecration, and dedication. It'll change your life. You have to isolate yourself. Christianity is an individual sport. It's an individual heart. It's an individual relationship. Isolation, separation, consecration, and dedication. And your life will totally be changed. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. It's all right there in the Word, those four things. Isaac, somebody.
Take it, Isaac. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
go ahead.
Isaac, give her the mic. They're real good with the Bible. I'm not that good. I don't know very many verses or anything like that, but and I really, just to be honest, you said a lot of big words that just went, whoo. Not really sure, but I'll get with you on that. But the verses Jason's reading out of the Bible, I have Jeremiah 29:11 tattooed on my arm. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future."
Yes.
I needed to say that to you. That's all I got, guys. Sorry. Thanks for letting me share.
That's great. That's great, Michelle.
When I was hearing Josh and Jason and Tim, you know, continuing about the new season, and I kept resting, and I was like, that was a good word, resting, by the way. I'm going to steal that from you. Because I was just thinking, I was like, man, a new season, that's what they actually talked about when I first, so there's a school that I've been wanting to go since high school, but I just never had the opportunity to go to, and to school down in Dallas called Christ for the Nations. And I went there on faith, you know, just basically, you know, leaning on God. And what they talked about, they kept on talking every chapel, because every morning we have chapel, they kept saying new season, new season. And I kept thinking, okay, yeah, it's a new season, I'm in school, yeah, but I never actually comprehended it until we're actually talking about it now. It didn't really click in my head, you know, new season, new beginning, you know, stepping into faith. And for me, my season was, because not to rely on money, but to rely on God. And that for me is very difficult, because I've always, the last years that I've been worked, I've always depended on myself. I still live under my parents' roof, but besides that, everything else I basically supply my own food, my insurance, money, clothes, whatever. I provide all that. And to go to school with not working and just have the clothes on my back and go to school and just learn so much from God, that was a very difficult time for me. And I felt like that was the Lord telling me, this is where I want to take you to the new season, and to 2019. And I just felt like, you know, this is where we should go. It is difficult, you know, to I go back to what we said before, while I walk by faith and not by sight, you know, it's difficult to comprehend it in a way that it's not, money is there, but, I mean, if you rely on God, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter where you go or where you're going to go, because God will provide it for you. But for me, it's like this new season is just, and I told him, God, I was like, God, he's, because I told him about Tim, I don't think I'm going to go back to school next semester. And he's like, why? He's like, I don't have the money for it. And for me, it's like something I've always, a desire that I've always wanted to go back. And I told my parents about this. I told a couple of friends that I met through school that become one of my good friends. I said, hey, just letting y'all know, I might not come back next semester. I'll just let you know if we want to hang out, we'll still hang out, but I'm not coming back. Like, oh, okay, well, you know, sorry to hear that. We'll be praying for you. And I was just telling God to, and when I was praying for this message, I was telling God, man, God, I really want to go back to school. My friend told me, he said, dude, just request it. You never know what God's going to tell you. And so I started requesting, I'm like, God, and I started praying. I'm like, I really want to go back to school. I really want to go back, really go back. And as I was reading, preparing for the sermon, someone texted me and said, they gave me some money for school. And I almost started crying, and I was like, man, God, it's like, you are really, like, it's sometimes it's hard to believe, sometimes, or sometimes for me to grasp, like, that he's really, you know, he's real, like, he's there, you know, because, I mean, I keep requesting, you know, God, I want to go back to school, and next thing, this person comes to my life and says, here's some of the money, I hope that can help for school, and I was just, for me, it broke me down, and it reminded me of new season, new beginnings. Just having faith, you know, and God will provide, you know. That's my season, and I hope that's your season as well. Amen.
Yeah. Go for it. No, the word rest, that's a powerful word itself. It's a powerful action. I don't even know how to describe it, but to rest is... You know, and during the past year and 3 months, I was struggling to rest because I was acknowledging all the things that I messed up. And I was like, man, I got to go back and get this. Oh, my, I'm never going to get no rest. But the Father was like, just rest, Jason. Let it come to you. Rest in what I've done for you. Rest in the deliverance. Rest in the belief that I've done this for you. Rest in it. And as you grow, you will see where I'm going to set you to move and what words to use and how to move and to work in the walk of Christ, how to be used as the tool is used correctly. Because we can jump out there and be ahead of the Lord and think we're a hammer and we're trying to screw in a screw. You know, it just doesn't work. It we get mad and we beat it in instead. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't work that way. So it's resting. And that word rest sticks real strong to my heart because I rest and what my Father has done for me. I rest in it wholeheartedly. I rest in my mind, and I definitely rest in my heart because I can find myself trying to clean myself, but I can only do that physically. I cannot do that in my heart. I can't because it's too powerful. It comes back after me. I have to rest in the blood that he has provided for me to be able to get the wisdom that he's given me to continue to rest daily, to step one foot in front of the other. And it all came through with this right here on the Friday that resurrected on the Sunday for me to walk out of here on Sunday as a new man and not headed back to the dope house looking for more other things.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way that's God's resurrecting power. That's who he is daily. So that word rest is a very strong word that I rest in a lot.
Yep.
So
it's good.
You begin to look like what you worship.
It's good.
You begin to look like what you worship. I just feel like we just, you know, you got to draw a line in the sand. You know, if the master walked in here, if he opened that door and the master Jesus walked in, and your hearts were on display, you know, and he knows. All things are exposed and naked in front of him. You ain't fooling nobody.
Yep.
I ain't fooling nobody.
Yep.
This microphone, it ain't. It's not about a platform.
Yep.
Life is short. Yep. Either you make him famous, you go after him, or you go after yourself.
That's good.
You decide.
It's good. Just for a moment, let's just rest in what God's doing. I love this word rest that keeps coming around. But I want to share... Maybe if we could just stop a moment and just say, come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. You're welcome into our hearts. Search our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. Search our hearts right now. I can hear heaven saying over us. I love saying that because I encourage us to sometimes tune out to what this world has to offer and begin to tune in to what God is saying. And I can hear heaven singing over us. There's no power found on this earth. There's no force of darkness that can stop God moving in our lives. There's no decision that we've made that will prevent us from hearing the voice of the Lord and then God speaking and singing over us. There's no decision that I've made, that you've made, no matter what, how bad it is, that can separate us from the love of God, that can stop God moving in our lives. And as a scripture, Isaiah, I want to read this over us as we begin to close. Isaiah 14:27, all the forces of darkness cannot stop what God has ordained in our lives. This is the truth of God's word. But God has given us all the ability to choose right here in this moment whether we say yes to God or say yes to what we want in our lives. And God, in his wisdom, I can't understand it. I've tried to research it. I don't know why God has given us the ability to choose. If I was God, I would make everyone worship me. I say, you don't have a choice. You're my creation. But yet the love of the Father gives us the opportunity to choose. And that's real love. It's when we get to choose. There's some teenagers here this morning. Jason, I don't ever want you to feel like you can't say anything in front of these teenagers, because I guarantee you they're hearing 1,000 times worse in the hallways of their school. I guarantee you they're reading 1,000 times worse on their phone. Some of y'all don't have a phone right now because of what you've been texting and reading and sending. I'm looking at my own kid. No, I'm just kidding. And I was 14 turning 15, relying on my parents' relationship with God, thinking everything was great, living both sides. And now that I'm 30 years old, I still have that decision to make. Am I going to live for God? Am I going to live for myself? Am I going to allow so much of the world in my life that I don't live any differently than the world? Or do I choose to surrender to God? Do I choose to say yes to God? And there's a beautiful movement we're going to do in just a moment. And some of you may feel very uncomfortable doing it. I encourage you to do it anyways. One thing that we pray here, one thing that we want to always do is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I believe right now the Holy Spirit is asking us, are we for real? Are we serious? Some of us have been carrying things for so long and we've welcomed them in our lives and now we're afraid to let go of them in our lives. Some of those things might be bitterness or disappointment, anger, jealousy, envy, lust, things that we welcome in our lives and now all of a sudden they're at home in our lives. And today can be the day of freedom and salvation. Today can be the day. And there's a little physical demonstration we like to do. I'm a real visual person. And sometimes I need to put things I can see to what God's doing on inside of my life. That's why I like to nail things to a cross. And some of you, you need to do that before you leave. We'll find the papers. I don't think we got them. We'll find them. We'll find something, right? And the opportunity we have is to leave it here today, to not carry it any longer. Your shame. Your regret. Some of you are carrying around regret so much it's weighing you down. And today can be the day that you surrender it at the cross. Some of you need to do that. Some of us, I'm asked Jody, some of you need to take everything that you struggle with, your frustrations, your disappointments, and just put them in your hands. Jody, will you lead us through that? Get the mic, get the mic.
There we go. God's been messing me up over the last few weeks on this. And I've been asking him, and he kept... And I kept asking the Lord. He told me he was going to have me say this today, and I kept saying now, and he goes, no, now, no, now, no, now, yes. And so it was this thing, and he took me back to the Lord. In John 14, where he says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I cried to the Lord and I said, then why don't I have any peace? I'm your son. I know I'm your son. I know I'm a prince in the kingdom. I know I am. But that's knowing I am. Anybody else know you are in your head? Why don't I have any peace? And he goes, what are you holding on to? See, there's a lot of things in the kingdom. We're kingdom people. Just like spiritual gifts or anything else, we receive all spiritual gifts at the point we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. But do we use them? We're talking about saws and screws and hammers and all these things. Well, you know, we have gifts of prophecy, words of knowledge, gifts of discerning of spirits, all these things. Are we walking in them? Well, the answer is, have we appropriated the thing that we have already received? And so here was the problem. Okay, so now let's deal back to peace. And this is what just messed me up, because I am guilty before him. I'm guilty before you, and there's more of us here. That's why I can say it. He goes, what do you not want? You don't have any peace because you're still holding stuff into your hands, even stuff that you are doing for me. You're holding in your hands, and they are preventing me from pouring that peace into you. It's becoming a barrier to the peace, and I'm going to say this, that I have already given. We don't have to ask for more. We don't have to ask for more peace. He already gave it all. We already have it all. Kids, you already have all the peace you will ever need. It's this close. But we're going like this. See, because we're afraid of letting go of that thing. We already had, how many different times do we hear the same word? And I go, I believe in hearing multiple times the same thing. Those are confirmations. What do we hold on to that we think is so important? Guilt. Shame. Worry over money and finances, worry over jobs, worry over our wives, worry over our kids that aren't saved, worry over the ones that you wonder if they're ever going to come to the Lord.
If everyone will stand here this morning as we close, some of you know we're making preparations. Some of you need to come and meet us up here at the cross. Jason will be here to help. We want to pray for you. Some others need to let us pray for you individually before you leave, but if everyone could just take your hands and like this, I just put them in front of you. And what we're doing in this motion is we're just putting all those things that we can think of right now. Holy Spirit, bring clarity to us. Bring things to mind right now. And Lord, we just take all of those frustrations, those regrets, the anger, the bitterness, the pride, the arrogance, the lust, the pride of this life, the jealousy and envy that we hide and try to protect anyone else from knowing, and whatever that thing is that you need to say, and we just put it in our hands, and then we turn our hands over and drop them out of our lives, just as a physical demonstration. And Lord, I pray right now that by your Spirit, this would happen in our lives, that you'd give us the boldness, you'd give us the strength and the faith to believe the words that we read, that we sing, that we hear, and Lord, that you separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. And God, you don't look at us the way we see ourselves at times, filled with mistakes and failures and disappointments, but you see us through the lens of Jesus on that cross, who makes us in right standing with God the Father and takes our sin that has stained us red, and by the blood of Jesus, we're now made white as snow. Thank you, God, for what you've done through Jesus Christ. Thank you.
There at the start, before the beginning of time.
Thank you, Lord.
With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. But as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born.
Let us pray for you. Thank you for being in service with us today. Let's continue to worship. Mm-hmm.